This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yeah, great to have you on the show today, and great to have with us on the show as well, the outstanding Mike Poorman. Mike, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
It's great to be here. You know, I barrels and dills are both so good, they got first-round buys in the playoffs.
And they earned them. I'd like to point out, they earned it. So let's start with the fact there's going to be a playoff game at Beaver Stadium. I did not have the heart to tell Rich Phillips, the play-by-play voice of SMU, when I talked to him earlier today, that would, that spot he's sitting in won't be there in about a month. but to have this game at home, something that has never happened in the history of the building, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's terrific. You know, I went for a walk the other day, and there were still a few piles of snow, not very high, around Beaver Stadium. It made me think how high those piles will be. But I have to tell you, the other thought, I've been working on this, is comparing SMU and Penn State. The biggest crowd SMU played before this year was 61,000.
Right.
They're in for the shock of their life.
Well, they're all going to be there wearing white. What kind of response have you at least been able to gauge on tickets for this game for fans? Those who said yes, they want to keep their tickets for the game, and those who have also bought into it.
It's a mad scramble. I've been hearing from everybody, and the folks who are season ticket holders who have theirs are thrilled, and the folks who want to come in for a one-off, they're scrambling, is what I hear. My answer is always probably the same, maybe not the same as yours, but I'm not in the ticket business, and I'm glad that's really the case in 10 days hence.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad I'm not in the ticket business, believe me. Tickets and parking. I had a guy call me today. He says, what about the parking situation? I said, I don't know. Look at me. I'm lucky I have a space. What are you talking about? The path to get here, 11 wins. People can debate certain elements of scheduling and so forth, but how difficult, in your opinion, is it, Mike, to win 11 games in today's college football environment?
Well, you know, you've heard it for almost 10,000, how long has Franklin been here? But I don't think his 1-0 mantra has ever been truer, and we've seen it this year. Look, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
Alabama lost twice to 6-6 teams. I think the fact that they have focused on the business at hand, in this day and age, with NIL, transfer portal, paychecks, parity, playoffs, I think it's an amazing. And I'm not a super cheerleader, but I think it is an amazing coaching job for them to be consistent from week to week.
They're going to get, in the end, two consensus All-Americans. They will be Abdul Carter at defensive end and Tyler Warren at tight end. Let's start with Carter, because he changed positions and the dynamics of what he does changed as well. What was your opinion on his season and how he went about it to get to this point?
Well, I tell you what, it was like one of those time-lapse cameras, Steve, and even to the point where the other night, where he's not a true linebacker. He's not a true edge. But there, you know, there were downs that you called where he was playing middle linebacker. I mean, the guy is an athlete, and I know everyone compares him to Micah Parsons, but he has quickly evolved into that very quickly. I think that's the biggest surprise, how much he has not only developed into an edge, but a Swiss Army knife.
And we know that Warren has played literally 9 different positions during the course of the season for Penn State. When you watched him play this year and how Andy Koltunicki wanted to use him, what was that experience like for you on a weekly basis following Tyler Warren around?
Well, here's the thing about Tyler, and I don't usually talk about these things, as you probably don't, because we have some of these kids in the classroom. But since it's a really positive thing, Tyler is a great student, a locked-in, focused, kind of quiet student.
Yep.
And James has referenced that in a lot of different ways this year. Tyler is a student. He's a student of the game. His dad played college football with Trace McSorley's dad. You know, it's not only in his DNA, but it's in his playbook. He's a super smart guy, so when you go, okay, here's a new play, this is what you're going to do. And by the way, I'm not sure has been running college football in the last 25 years. He's the guy who can think and make it happen and then be nonplussed about it. I think that's his biggest strength, is he goes about his business in a smart, methodical, thoughtful, consistent way. That's a long answer.
No, that's fine. It's a long-form interview, so it's perfectly fine. Before we get to the actual playoff itself, they did release the 2025 order of teams in the schedule. Anything that stick out to you about the order with which Penn State's going to play their games? There will be 2 bye weeks again next year.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of 2 bye weeks. And this is the thing that struck me was when they released it, I think they released it Saturday, was the Oregon is in Beaver Stadium on September 27. That's, I think, and this immediately came to mind too. There's not going to be any debate about when the whiteout is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good for so many reasons. It's devolved into something that is, you know, media, broadcasting, money. I love to see the purity back. Biggest opponent at home, it's who it is. You know, and for me, I was pretty excited that there's that line in the sand. This is the deal. And then you can tentpole the rest of the season, you know, the rest of the season home schedule around that.
Yeah, I mean, no question. So they were able to do that. 3 non-con games, then the bye, then Oregon, then in the middle they've got another bye, and then they finish out after that. All right, so that's 25. The point at hand, what do you think of the 4 matchups on the opening weekend of the college football playoff? What intrigues you about each one?
Well, you know, everybody says Tennessee is the one ripest for an upset, and I don't know. I kind of I would ask you this question. Is Indiana and Notre Dame really just by happenstance? I mean, you know, the state of Indiana championship, that's really intriguing. That's really intriguing to me that it almost seems manufactured for television.
Well, look, I mean, television plays a big role in it. I mean, the reason Penn State, my goodness, is going to be playing at noon on the 21st is they don't want to go head-to-head with the Steelers at 4:30. And why is Texas playing the second game that afternoon is because they don't want them going head-to-head with the Houston Texans at night. In other words, they're trying to keep the college football, you know, in the same state away from each other, and they wanted, it didn't matter about who they're playing, they wanted Notre Dame in prime time on opening night at home. I think that played a role in it. That's my opinion.
Oh, no, I mean, absolutely. And I don't have a problem with any of that, because he who makes the gold rules. And, you know, you sign these massive contracts and they're filtering down to the players. You're going to play when TV wants you. I always kind of laugh at people getting mad at Big Noon. Well, the ratings tell you to play the big games at Big Noon, and if you want everything else, you got to do what they say.
Right. No, exactly right. What about the other matchups? Texas Clemson, Penn State SMU, Notre Dame Indiana, and Ohio State Tennessee. You mentioned which one could be ripe for an upset. You know, what do you think about the matchups and, quote, did the committee get it right with what they did?
Yeah, I mean, you can't have three losses and two of them be the 6-6 teams. I have to tell you, it's kind of interesting. When you go back to, I mean, Dabo, a guy who's won, what, two national championships?
Yes.
He's an underdog. You know, he's anti-portal. He's this lone wolf, and he's become this massive underdog, you know, and maybe in the whole bracket, maybe even more than the SMUs and Arizona States and Boise States of the world. You know, they have turned Dabo into this likable figure. And then, you know, SMU, you know this already, you know, in some ways their offense is Oregon light. And I'll say what everyone else says. Penn State's bracket is great. I mean, you know, after the Fiesta Bowl, I'm not sure if they're playing Penns Valley or Bald Eagle, but it's a pretty good path.
Yeah, without question. And what do you think this does? I mean, Penn State's not going to make money off of this because the college football playoff controls the tickets and so forth. But what do you think this does for the town, for this area, on a commencement weekend, no less?
That's a great point. Penn State does get the concessions money, and yep, they do get the parking money.
Yep.
But, yes, there was a story on a local website that yours truly writes for. It was a very good story where the downtown leaders were saying, look, come down, do your Christmas shopping early. Don't. Next weekend is going to be crazy, and it is. And I got to tell you is that everyone from Lions Pride to Rapid Transit to Family Clothesline, they're going to be selling anything and everything they have white. I mean, that stuff does not go in the back room for another year. It is fabulous, and we're not even talking about what it's going to do for the hotels as well, Steve.
Yeah, no question about that. And again, hotel space may be at somewhat of a mini premium around here. Because of commencement weekend, people had booked their commencement rooms months ago. Now, it's not as extensive as the spring, but you and I both know there's a number of people that are graduating on the 22nd out of here. All right. So we've gone through all of that. This new era of college football, portal, NIL, house settlement money starting next year, playoffs. What are you comfortable with right now, Mike? And what are some parts? Are there any parts of this that make you uncomfortable?
Wow, Steve, that's a really, I mean, these have been good questions. That's a great question. I'm not comfortable with the hidden money.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about professional sports, you know what everyone makes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know what the starters or backups or people coming in make. And I think people would be surprised. They will be next year on what the compensation level is. And with compensation comes expectations. And I have to tell you that I'm okay. I believe in the free hand of Adam Smith. I believe that the game really, in many ways, is the players and they should be compensated. Absolutely. Where I'm concerned somewhat is that they are professional athletes because they're getting paid.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about what happens to the academic side of things. Mm-hmm. The Tyler Warrens of the world are going to handle their business the right way. I'm concerned once you're making six figures as a second or third year player or a first year player, are you showing up for class? Are you creating a whole nother, you know, caste system in the academy? That may be my biggest worry, Steve.
Yeah, maybe no question. You do get concerned about that because it's still a university, And you are setting yourself up for life if you do it the right way, because only 2 to 3% go to the next level. Do you think there should be some level of federal government involvement, or do you think there should be collective bargaining to get reins in on what we're seeing?
Well, I think there will be collective bargaining. I mean, literally the House of the House settlement and two of the major figures are putting forth the idea of recognition of a labor union. There will be a labor union for college athletes, especially basketball and football. And the National Labor Relations Board, for the past, now they're on their third year of saying they will support that. And they're the overall federal organization. It not only makes sense, it's a law, so that will come. And then also, once you have the union, a union will supplant in many ways, because it's collective, and you use the right word, it's collectively bargained, so that could circumvent or at least push off in the federal courts Title IX. Because once you collectively bargain, you give up those federal rights there's still federal laws for labor, but that would supersede Title IX. That's going to help, and that's going to happen.
The fact that we have a lot of older players playing the game today, we just saw Dylan Gabriel make his 62nd start at Oregon. Cam Ward is somebody who has moved around Washington State, eventually to Miami. These are guys who are Heisman finalists. What do you think that has done for the game, pro and con, in your opinion?
Oh, it's made it a better game. I mean, these are great players. Look at, I mean, you see it. Devon J. Thomas has always been good, but, you know, he had, even the other night, there were, he's fun to watch. And he's a real student, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, he's a great player, terrific personality, but he's in year six, so I'm not sure he's going to have an NFL career. He'll get into a camp, but it has made the better at a higher level. And then it's given these folks who may not be an NFL player a chance to continue to play, a chance to make some money, a chance to develop a career. Devon's a great example. Nick Dawkins is a great example. You know them. They're fabulous students, people, and they have their career off the field continues to grow. So in that sense, they're great opportunities. The game is better, and for the right people who approach it the right way, it's even more opportunity, which I'm in favor of.
Mike, thanks so much. Always appreciate your time. Enjoy the conversation very much. Audience loves hearing from you.
All right. Thanks, bud. Take care.
Thanks. Mike Poorman, statecollege.com. By the way, congratulations to a friend of mine. That is Tom Hamilton, the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Guardians. He has won the Ford Frick Award and will go into the Baseball Hall of Fame next year. So well-deserving. I got to know Tom really well over the years when he did a lot of BTN basketball. Tom made a lot of trips in here to State College, and plus I saw Tom so much on the road. And he's, as a person and as a father, by the way, I mean, he's so dedicated to his boys and, you know, his family. I can't say enough great things about him. As a broadcaster, my goodness. And I say this with all due respect to the Yankees broadcasters. They do a fine job in the whole thing. But I was doing a Thursday night talk show over at the field, and then I went over to watch my granddaughter do gymnastics, which is very close to the field, the complex. And I'm driving home that night, and the Yankees were taking on the Guardians in the playoffs. And I made sure I found Tom. Why? Because Tom's just that good. He makes each game an entity unto itself. He makes each game exciting. He brings great insight, and he earned the Ford Frick Award. Congratulations to Tom Hamilton. Well deserved. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.